Because 50 episodes of MuggleCast just wasn't enough, this is MuggleCast episode 51 for August 13th, 2006. Your number one source for all your internet needs, GoDaddy.com has new domain names, transfers, and renewals for as low as $1.99. Plus, check out their hosting plans, website builders, secure certificates, and much more. Plus, as a MuggleCast listener, enter code HARRY, that's H-A-R-R-Y, when you check out and save an additional $5 off any order of $30 or more. Get your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com. Hello everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Ben Shane, in the middle of a street in Nebraska, stealing someone's Wi-Fi.
I'm Lauren Thompson. Ooh.
And I'm Jamie Lawrence.
And this is the show where we bring you the latest in Harry Potter news, theory discussions, and we're driving in Nebraska. But before we go anywhere else, first let's check in with Mike Tannenbaum for the past week's top Harry Potter news stories.
MSN has now posted a complete video from the second night of An Evening with Harry, Carry, and Garp. The charity readings with J.K. Rowling, Stephen King, and John Irving took place on August 1st and 2nd in New York City. V1 Media, the company which produced the Goblet of Fire DVD, has won for Major Technical Best Menu Design at the 9th Annual DVD Awards. Producer John Pohl commented, "We're honored that this award recognized the elaborate and expressive 3D achievement and strong sense of design the menus displayed. The artistic excellence of these menus contributed to an incredible DVD experience and was a result of the sacrifice that our 3D, composite, and design teams made." JK's Army, the team who gives MuggleNet fans advice on buying or selling Harry Potter memorabilia, has started a new campaign urging eBay to clamp down on the selling of fraudulent Harry Potter merchandise. They need your help. That's a scary thought. To find out more about this worthwhile effort and how you can help bring about change, head over to MuggleNet's main page. The Scotsman reports that Jo has donated a handbag of hers to be auctioned off at the new Members Club 29 in Glasgow's Royal Exchange Square on October 6th. Jo took the small black Roto purse to the premiere of Sorcerer's Stone. In a new interview first published in Surrey Life, Draco Malfoy actor Tom Felton talks about his acting career, hobbies, Harry Potter, and what he's been up to lately. He says filming for the Potter movies is always fun, and that it's weird to see the final product. Finally, WB has confirmed that Order of the Phoenix will be released in Argentina on July 12, 2007. As more dates are announced, we will bring them to you. There are a few new Order of the Phoenix set pictures, including one of Daniel Radcliffe, over on MuggleNet.com. That's all the news for this August 13th, 2006 edition of MuggleCast. Back to the show.
There's a car passing me. I'm laying down. Hold on. False alarm. They turned. They turned.
Wouldn't it be awesome if Ben got arrested and we were recording?
Oh, it would be so funny. It would be spy on Shane.
This is ridiculous. I drove 3.5 hours tonight. Tired as more tired than you can imagine.
Tired
and
soaked to his skin.
I get here to record MuggleCast, and I go to the library to steal their Wi-Fi.
Ben, I think the term is use, not steal, you know.
Use their Wi-Fi. They have it password protected. And so I drive around this small podunk town searching for Wi-Fi, and I found some. And now I am parked in the middle of the street, windows rolled up in my car. It's about 5,000 degrees. And I'm here to do MuggleCast. So I am the most dedicated MuggleCaster.
That's commitment to you.
That is devotion.
Ever.
Are we still streaming this to the FBI, Andrew? Or
yeah,
did we stop?
I think we're going to have to stop after this episode.
Okay, cool. It.
Eric will be joining us in a minute, but for now, let's do some announcements. Don't forget, everyone, to purchase your MuggleCast t-shirt, especially now. Now is a very critical time to purchase your MuggleCast t-shirt, because there are rumors going around that all t-shirts that do not promote MuggleCast are going to burst into flames within the week.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
I
no.
heard this rumor.
I don't think it's a rumor. I think it's true.
And there's also a rumor going around that the current MuggleCast t-shirts may be going out of stock.
So now's the time to buy.
Ooh.
That's right. And no, but seriously, if you do want to support the show, please purchase a MuggleCast t-shirt. As you know, we are taking a trip to California later in September, and we need some money to get us out there, so any help would be appreciated. And you get a cool shirt, also.
An awesome shirt.
Yeah.
And Podcast Alley, place your vote for support, and the podcast awards are now closed. We thank everyone who's voted once a day, and unfortunately...
Only if you voted once a day.
Yeah.
Otherwise...
No, thank you. No. No, yeah. Thanks to everyone. And, we unfortunately won't know the winners. Well, we won't know the winner of the People's Choice category until actually the ceremony. So we'll know if Pottercast won in entertainment, but we won't know if we won in People's Choice, which is worrisome because we don't want to all fly out there and lose. But
yeah.
Oh well.
It'll still be fun.
Yeah.
Andrew, I had something I wanted to do really quick.
Okay.
I got a couple of things from the PO box today. Thank you, Ben. One was from Patricia. She sent me some hand-decorated shoes. They're pretty cool. She did them in my three favorite colors. And then Lauren sent me this really cool shirt, and she hand-embroidered this really awesome pattern on it. It's got a flower and a dove, and it's really, really awesome, and I'm wearing it right now. So I just wanted to say thank you to them. That was very sweet. And thanks to Ben for sending them.
Finally, a little update about the P.O. box. I finally got my budding gear.
Yeah.
The other day, I actually responded to a letter. I'm a changed man. So please send anything, everything to the P.O. box.
Can I just thank Julius Caesar for that excellent piece of papyrus he sent me? I've only just got it thanks to Ben because he's a bit late. But that was very nice, Julius. Thank you, and I'm sorry you got stabbed. But it was a nice thought.
Listener rebuttals this week. Jamie, you want to take the first one?
Yep. This is from KC15 from Wyoming. She says, "Hi, I just want to say I loved the last episode. That was episode 50, our 1 year anniversary episode, especially with all the music. I especially like your song by Elton John. There you go, Ben. Because my choir had to sing it 1 year for a concert, and even though no one else liked it, I did. And here comes the award for sarcastic comment of the century. Also, I wanted to tell Jamie that he has a beautiful voice and should pursue a career in music.
Oh, wow.
Thank you for that. I love the shows, and it is the highlight of my week. Peace. Thank you very much, Casey.
Everybody, this is your
Jamie, we
song.
Also got a voicemail this week that I thought you should take a listen to. I know you mentioned to me earlier this week that you thought maybe you could write to Cascada and get a little money out of this.
Oh, yeah, exactly, them. Definitely.
So I think this voicemail will help you out.
Go for it.
Hey, MuggleCasters, this is Emily, and I'm from Missouri. And I just wanted to tell you that I hated the song Every Time We Touch until I heard Jamie sing it, or the part of it that you did post him singing. Anyway, thank you so much for giving me a new favorite song. Bye.
Aww, isn't that lovely? Thank you very much. And I will be writing to Cascada now, and I will be requesting £10 every single time that song is played. That can get us to California.
Yeah, no time. Next song, next rebuttal comes from Ray Murphy of Ireland. He writes, just thought I'd say, how is it Jamie didn't hear that song till he went to America? I myself am from Ireland, and us and the United Kingdom kind of share the music charts. The same songs are released at the same time. Cascada's Every Time We Touch has been released here for its second time this year, and is constantly on all music video channels and radio stations. Thought I'd just bring that up. Clash shows. Thanks for writing in real English words.
No, seriously, Ray, it's just I don't really pay attention to the charts, I think, so, and I don't really watch the music channels and stuff, so I get stuff late. Although, I might add that I sent Ben Mr. Brightside by The Killers. No, sorry, it wasn't Ben. It was
Emerson?
Emerson, yeah. I sent that song to him about 2 months before it got big over there, so that's my claim to fame.
Actually, you sent me James Blunt.
Oh, there you go.
You're Beautiful. Like 4 months before it got big over here.
Really? Mm-hmm. Next.
You're beautiful.
This show, really, we should just call it MuggleCast Music Mix or something.
Something
funny. Insert it there. Next one comes.
I don't think Music Mix quite does the trick, Andrew.
Thanks for
music
the support,
cost.
Ben.
That is original.
Next rebuttal comes from Megan of Nova Scotia, age 20. She writes, I completely agree with what Ben said on this subject. It's not realistic to me for all of them to survive. All three of them are still quite young and are not all that powerful. Why should they make it out of the final battle alive and others more powerful should die? It is just not probable.
Thank you, Megan. This is what I've been trying to say for so long, that it's not a fairy tale. These people, you know, if three 16-year-olds who haven't learned as much, you know, magic going to war with all these, you know, adults who are qualified and everything, they can't all survive. It's just, it would be completely unrealistic. Although I hope...
So no, Jamie, one said that all Jamie, the 16-year-olds were going to survive
that. No. I agree that... It is unrealistic to expect all three, considering the task they have taken on, and the danger. You know, Lupin said in Order of the Phoenix that there are dangers involved that they can have no idea of, and they still don't have any idea of. And it's just, it's so, you know, some of the stuff they're going to be up against. Dark magic they haven't experienced before, spells they don't even know. It's just, I really think it's improbable that they're all going to survive. It's a horrible thought, but...
Yeah. In relation to that rebuttal, Brian from Pennsylvania, age 16, writes, though this email is for all of you, MuggleCasters in general, I particularly something to say to Laura. I don't understand why you and the majority of the MuggleCasters are so convinced that JKR, quote-unquote, slipped up about the trio living through the series.
Ooh.
I have watched the entire video you guys just posted, and I honestly wasn't given that impression at all. Laura, girl, you tried to say that JKR said, after naming the trio, quote, but I'm the only one who knows who lives through book 7. She never says this. The only thing
apart
she does
Chuck
say
Norris.
The only thing she does say after the audience begins to shout names is, I'm the only one who knows who's actually dead. And he is correct. I'm reading the transcript now.
What I would like to say in relation to that, though, Brian,
ha, you, in your face, Laura.
Hey, shut up, Ben. Anyway, you went on in your email to kind of discuss how it was misleading to misquote her, and I completely agree with you. However, I think that her saying, I'm the only one who knows who's actually dead, implies that she's the only one who knows who dies in book 7. So that was why that thought came into my head, because I only went to the readings. I didn't actually go through and read the transcripts and get the actual quote. So you were absolutely right, but I do think that it was somewhat of a slip-up on her part, because she did say she was the only one who knew that died.
It was.
So, yeah.
I think that gives it away. And let's read that whole part right now. I have the transcript up right here. She says, I'm very prepared tonight. She says, I'd take Harry to apologize to him. I'd have to take Harry, Ron, and Hermione. I would, this is, see, I know who's actually, well, what happens. Stephen King says to her, Hagrid, take Hagrid. And then J.K. Rowling says, see, I know who's actually dead. But I mean, that could also be saying that Hagrid dies.
But she never actually said that she was inviting only people who live.
No, but
table.
She...
I mean, I don't see how that's... I don't see how that's
she's
implied.
Saying, see, I know
because
who's actually
saying,
dead. She's talking about who she would take to dinner, who's alive.
That was alive, yeah. I guess it's just a matter of opinion, really, but that was how I perceived it.
You guys are wrong, okay?
Hold on. And then Stephen King says, pretend you can take anyone. And then she says, pretend I can take anyone? Well, then, I would definitely take Dumbledore.
Yeah.
I'd take Dumbledore, Harry, Ron, Hermione, and Hagrid, I'd take Hagrid.
What would she say to them?
That means Hagrid's going to die.
Maybe, no. What would she say to them, though? She's just sitting there. So, I wrote you.
correct, Jamie, correct.
Thank you.
Now moving on to our main discussion this week. Oh, hold on. Well, he should be recording when he comes in. Let's see if he's a good enough podcaster to be doing that. Eric, are you recording?
Is he prepared?
Eric?
Hi.
Hey, are you recording?
Yes,
hey,
I am. Hi, everybody.
Oh, he is a good podcaster. Everyone, round of applause. Eric Skoll has just joined us in the Skype chat this evening.
Oh, wow.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Eric Skoll.
thank you. Thank you.
Why don't you give an opening speech? Actually, wait.
No, anyway, what are we talking about?
We just wrapped up listener rebuttals, and we were just transitioning into our main discussion when you so kindly conference called. So,
Eric, I need your praises. I am in the middle of the street in a small town in Nebraska stealing someone's Wi-Fi. Aren't I the best MuggleCaster ever, or what?
Yes, Ben. Three praises for Ben. Hey, round of applause for Ben, everybody.
Oh, we already did. We already had one.
Yeah.
I can beat that. Yeah. I can beat that, Ben.
I can too.
How? Oh, yeah.
Jamie? Hanging. Oh, well, yeah. No, well, no. Apart from it being 4:54 a.m., I am floating down a river, hanging onto a raft, and I've put my laptop on top, and Skype's open, and it's a very nice laptop, and it could fall in. So I'm ten times more committed than you are, Ben.
Well, not to mention the 9-hour flight to get over here for live shows. But
yeah, exactly.
Guys, I've just worked two jobs, yay for me, in one day. I worked 8 to 4 full-time at school, and then I worked from 5 till 11:30 at the movies, so I'm kind of mellowed out here. But
aww.
Okay, well, let's move on to the next question, because this okay, it's already 100 degrees in my car, and this laptop is adding to the heat, and
that's why they call you Mr. Farrell.
Okay, well,
roll down your window, a crack.
I can't, because
here
I'm
in
lights
my car,
come out
life
again.
Is safest of all. I
very good, Eric.
My doors,
Gary Newman. And,
yes, Gary Newman cars. Download it,
very
everybody.
Good.
Too much music on
it's
the show.
Song. It's a good
too
song.
Much music.
Oh, there is. There.
I'm just kidding. FC, no, who handles music?
RIA.
Yeah, they're going to come after us. Main discussion this week, book 7 theories, and we're going to start off with one today by Jamie Lawrence.
This is a kind of big discussion, and it is a weird discussion because I've never seen any conclusive evidence throughout the entire series, because some theories, they start off in book 1 and then they carry on and get more solid and things change, but you can always follow them, whereas this one, it's complete speculation. So we'll probably be completely wrong, and in 2 years, when the book comes out, yes, 2 years, not summer 2007, I'm sorry, summer 2008, when the book comes out, we'll probably be proven wrong. So, but anyway, here goes. Okay, we are going to talk about Harry's eyes. J.K. Rowling has said Harry's eyes and their similarity to Lily's is paramount to the series as a whole, completely essential. So I had questions such as, what is the relationship between their eyes? Where are his physical eyes going to play a part, or does it show some kind of bond between them? Do you think that the colour is important, and just what you know, what exactly they mean? Let me start off with something. Okay, let me start off with something. I'll put something out then. Harry's eyes have been described several times, and it's been, you know, driven home by Joe that his eyes are green, and obviously there's the Slytherin connection. What could that mean?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we've seen a sort of increase in the people who think that Snape liked Lily. So, is there any kind of Slytherin connection there between those?
Snape is his father.
Yes, Eric.
Ew.
Yes.
It's just really difficult because we keep hearing that we're going to see what the big deal is about their eyes, and it hasn't happened yet. And one would think that if it was so important, the movies would get it right. But Daniel Radcliffe has blue eyes, so I.
Well, no, Laura, it's fine. They'll just tie him down and inject some green dye into his eyes, and that'll make it all worthwhile, won't it? You know, it's fine. We'll do that for the next one.
Well, they'll probably be kicking themselves when movie seven comes along, and they're like, I guess we ought to change his eyes. That can be solved with contacts.
No, Joe wouldn't have let that happen. If it was that important, his eyes would have been green.
Yeah, but she said it's very important. But I found on Google one absolutely charming Harry Potter fan puts a theory out there. He's... suggest that Harry will go to Godric's Hollow, go to his mother's grave, pluck out her eyeballs, and then he will finally have, quote, his mother's eyes.
Oh, that's a wonderful theory.
That's absolutely charming, as you put it, Jamie.
Whoever that was,
charming.
Whoever that was, I think you're onto a winner there, son.
But in all seriousness, guys, does anybody have any idea or any speculation on as to what the eyes mean?
Well, I'd like to give some credit to Jamie for coming up with this, make this a somewhat worthwhile discussion.
Thank you, Eric.
Well, the whole eye thing, it's a matter of if eyes are, as you said, the underlying, you know, thing of the book, then it's also to say that if he has his mother's eyes, you know, that love, I think it just reinforces love being a central theme of the book. Because Lily loved Harry and died for him and all that stuff. And all these connections to his mother and love and maybe even Snape's love for Lily just underlies love. How is love going to play a part in the next book? I'd really like to know. Because love so far hasn't really acted as like a force against Voldemort, with the exception of those very few times where it actually crippled him very much so.
Yeah.
But like beyond that, it's just... Yeah.
Well, when Lily sacrificed herself... back when Harry was a baby, that was the first way, like, that love played any role in the series.
Right, and then love in the future kind of played a little bit on the back burner as far as circumstances, how Harry made friends, the certain relationships he had because he could love, because he could forgive, you know, things like that. That's how Pettigrew owes him the debt, you know, things like that. Love does kind of, if you look carefully enough, love does weave itself in between everything, even, you know, including Pettigrew, including maybe even Dumbledore. I'm sure you could draw love connections through everything, like, as a result of Harry loving, this has happened. So, but we've not seen anything, have we, like, certain things that only eyes can do, or certain
well,
eyes.
Exactly. Yeah. Or,
yeah. There's never been really a separate thing of eyes. I mean, you know, fingers you could even call are more important than eyes because, you know, long fingers apparently signifies when, you know, there's enough evidence to guess this, long fingers is longer power, but it doesn't seem like there's any eye signifiers out there. In the
Perhaps
books.
He's inherited Lily's X-ray vision and he's going to find all the Horcruxes.
Lily has X-ray
like
vision?
That. Yeah.
Didn't you know that?
Didn't you know that, Andrew?
No.
you seriously need to reread book one. Seriously.
I'm sorry.
I just think it's interesting that green is a color that's supposed to represent envy, and Harry is anything but envious, wouldn't you think?
Well, he's envied a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's true. I just think that since, you know, he has the power of love, it's just interesting to me that something that is so often reinforced in the series is that he has his mother's eyes, and they're bright emerald green. So,
yeah.
I just thought that was interesting.
The whole Slytherin thing, though, is interesting, but I think it's kind of weak because there's, what, four eye colors?
Yeah, and Voldemort
yeah,
has
exactly,
red eyes.
Yeah.
Gryffindor color.
Yeah. It's true. Surely Voldemort doesn't have red eyes because he loves so much that it's just, you know, it's like the saying, you're so full of poo that your eyes are brown. It just has no correlation whatsoever.
Yeah, I guess, but, I don't know. So, we'll open this to you all. So, write in and tell us what you think about Harry's eyes and their significance in the series as a whole, their significance to Lily, whether there's a Slytherin connection, and whether you think Harry will go to his mother's grave, pluck out her eyeballs, and then he will finally have his mother's eyes. I think it's a pretty solid theory, so, you know, we'll see if you agree.
What about the point you have in here, Ollivander said Lily was very good at charm?
Oh, yeah. Well, I read this a while ago, and he specifically said that, you know, in the shop, that she was extremely good at charm work. And I'm just wondering if that's going to feature in Harry's fight in the fifth. I mean, in the final book.
I really
probably.
I mean,
not,
she was good at potions too, and well, at least I've been interested in it.
Well, I find it interesting. I really like to know what charms is more advanced at. You know, they took a charms owl, but we haven't actually seen any charms, have we? Since like year one, where it was obviously like what Alohomora, you know. And the levitating thing, Wingardium Leviosa, that was like the only charms we'd actually seen, wasn't it? Like, were there, like, what's the difference between charms, spells, enchantments, hexes? You know, they're just different names to describe a different type of the same thing.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So the fact that you could study charms, you know, I wonder how different charms is than to studying hexes, studying spells, you know, things like that. So if charms requires more eye work?
Well, think about charms. The thing about, like, how you were talking about the classifications, I think it starts with, like, it starts with spells, and then everything fits in the spells. You know what I'm saying? And, like, it's sort of like, it's like a tree that sort of works its way down.
Yeah, I understand.
Can I just come out with a revelation? Oh my god. Do you know what I think it is? It's because in, Occlumency and, whatever the other one is.
Oh, God, wait. I think I see where you're going with this.
It's 5 a.m. It's 5 a.m., so I can't even
it's remember midnight,
who
you
Harry Potter is. So,
all right.
No. Okay. Occlumency, you need eye contact. Perhaps there's something there with Snape and Harry and, you know.
With eyes.
Yeah. Something, I don't know, something like that. And no, I've got it. Okay, I'm so excited now. She died to protect Harry. Perhaps she has given him some type of mental barrier. Well, not mental, but eye barrier. Against Voldemort's legilimency. There you go. When he finally, you know, fights or something, it's like if you wear contact lenses and a piece of dirt goes into your eye and it just bounces off because you know there's a thing
doesn't
covering
it get
your
stuck
eye.
In between your eye and your
Eric,
contact forever?
Eric, you've just completely ruined my analogy now. I hate you,
Jamie. They already have Harry and Voldemort already have the connection to the scar. So
yeah.
Regardless of whether or not the eyes, eye contact is irrelevant because he can still
no, but use it could be stronger. It could be stronger if there's eye contact. So it's just an idea.
It's interesting because if Harry's going to revert to like well, Ben said the connection is through the scar, and they said in book 6 that Voldemort was practicing what occlumency against Harry so that Harry couldn't pry into his mind to pry into Voldemort's mind. Not that Harry would want to, but you know. Just that fact. If they ever have to duel, and eyes are going to be, you know, part of the thing. I kind of see Harry being without his scar or something in that kind of instance where, like, because you'd think they'd be able to battle mentally or something that eyes wouldn't even
know.
Yeah. If you're talking about battling Harry in the future with eyes playing, you know, importance or significance, I really don't know. I just want to know more about Lily. I think once we know a little bit more about Lily, that will reveal everything, whether or not she had anything
with
Snape or how she ever accepted a bum like James. You know, according to Remus and Sirius, he cleaned himself up. But still, based on what we saw in the Pensieve in Book 5, I just think she was a smart girl and wouldn't really fall for James. But I don't.
He was a 15-year-old boy, though. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. 15-year-old boys can
be
jerks.
Yeah, but he was cruel. He was really cruel.
Well, yeah. Oh, but you guys are all cruel to each other.
No,
never.
It's love. It's love cruel. It's love cruel, isn't it, Ben?
Oh, right, right.
It is. We love each other.
Rebuttal comes from Crystal 13. Not a rebuttal, but an email comes from Crystal 13 of Chicago. I was just looking through the MuggleCast box. She had a question about eyes, and she says, in the Harry Potter books, many people are described as having black or gray eyes. Do people really have black and gray eyes? I suppose gray could just be a really light shade of blue, but I've never seen anyone with black eyes. I'm not sure why I'm asking you, but I'm at the point of insomnia, where I have an odd sort of calm coming over me. I've been listening to MuggleCast for 9 straight hours. Oh, that's very nice. Could it be that Joe's just... They don't really have black or gray eyes. They have...
They've got beetle black eyes.
No, that's just the way Hagrid. She's...
Maybe she describes them as being very... Like, that's her way of saying they're very dark.
Like,
not
metaphorically.
Not to mention, I mean... Yeah, have you ever seen someone who has such dark brown eyes that look black?
Well, like my eyes even, the pupil and the little center thing blends in with the whole eye.
Iris.
Yeah, the iris.
No, that's the circular thing. It's all circular, so that doesn't really say anything. But the middle bit's the pupil, yeah? Then it's the iris. Then it's the white bit. That's the scientific term, the white bit.
Well, I think the eye thing is just characterization without realism, or not necessarily even without realism, but if she describes somebody as having small black eyes and beetle black as Hagrid's are, you can kind of picture that, even if it's not, even if you've never actually seen anybody with black eyes. I think just the way it's done, you know, you can kind of understand what somebody with gray eyes would be kind of cool and chilly inside, or you know, something like that. You know,
but Sirius has cold gray eyes.
Yes,
and he
was
nice.
Well, he's somber. I mean, like he's kind of reserved, kind of faded out, you know, from all the years in Azkaban.
Yeah.
Should we move on now to our next discussion?
Yeah. I know that we have been talking about featuring some theories from the Chamber of Secrets forums, and according to Eric, we haven't really been doing
it at all.
The users
over
there
really say that, but
yeah. Well, you said that they were over there with pitchforks and all sorts of nasty things. So I went and I was browsing the forums over there the other day. I can't even talk right now because it's 12 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, anyway, sorry. Can I please interrupt here and say, Laura, I'm sorry, it's 12 o'clock. Why don't you get some sleep? And say every single time, go and have a lie down. Then I'll stay up all night and then you can come back after you've slept and we'll carry on.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Jamie.
It's very kind of you, Jamie.
Now, I was kind of interested by a theory that I saw concerning Godric's Hollow and who was there the night that the Potters were murdered. And this theory, I think it's a little bit iffy, but it was interesting all the same. Now, some users have been pretty clever in pointing out that Joe was pretty specific about how the Godric's Hollow scene should be filmed. And we didn't see James in that scene, and we didn't really see anyone else in that scene apart from Lily and Voldemort, who was just in a cloak type thing. And in the Prisoner of Azkaban movie, we didn't hear James's voice saying, you know, Lily, take Harry and run. We only heard Lily yelling. Now, some of them think that what could end up happening in Book 7 would be along the same lines of what happened in Book 3, where Harry goes back in time to Godric's Hollow and is actually the one telling Lily to take Harry and run. What did you guys think
like
of
it.
That?
Didn't Dumbledore say something about how many times you would ever have to turn a time turner just to go back, 15 years, 17 years, 18 years?
Really? When did he say that?
Well, it might not be a thing, but even if they didn't say it, how long would that take? You know, can you really go back in time that far and change that much? Like, is there that power? And also, the thing about not hearing James in the thing in Prisoner of Azkaban, we didn't really hear a lot of things in Prisoner of Azkaban, the movie. So.
No, we really didn't. See, what I didn't really think this theory solved was how Harry would defeat Voldemort. It would just seem like it was a recurring cycle. It wouldn't really solve anything. But at the same time, I find it interesting because if you read Prisoner of Azkaban, when Harry says that he saw his dad on the other side of the lake, it was either Remus or Sirius that said, "You saw James," and he got very pale. And if this theory were true, then it would kind of lend itself to the fact that James had survived that night.
I think J.K. Rowling shot down the idea that James was still alive.
I think she did too. But I find it interesting because she was so specific about how that scene should be filmed. I think that she really put a lot of time into making sure that they did it right. And I find it interesting that we didn't see him in that scene and didn't see anyone else.
You gotta understand who's telling the story as well. And you know, whereas we did see Voldemort entering the house, we only really needed to understand what happened with his mother and him at the time. And JKR was very specific with how that scene was filmed. Apparently, I mean, that's the rumor. But there's also part of when the camera spins, you can almost see another figure. People think that's Snape. You know, in the movie, like things in the background and stuff. There's like a shadow present, things like that.
But honestly, guys, don't you think that Lily would have pleaded with Severus if she knew that she sort of had a soft spot for her? Wouldn't you think that we would have actually heard a mention of Severus rather than just the pleading with "Don't kill me, take me, not my son"?
You're saying, Ben, she'd be able to influence him because Snape was...
Well, I think we would. I think in Harry, the brief recollection that he has of his parents being killed, that when his mother's pleading, you'd hear her plead with Snape. Not just Voldemort.
Yeah, but it's also just that. It's a brief recollection. It's not the entire occurrence. She could have pleaded with Snape, but I don't know, for some reason I'm not sure I could see her doing that just because of her attitude towards him in the pensive scene.
Lily to Ginny. I think Lily and Ginny are very similar in the way that they're women who understand the tasks set upon them, the dangers they're in, at least. I mean, that's who Ginny is now. I think if Lily happened to see Snape there, she would nod to him and give him a look of utmost disappointment, but I guess she would, you know, accept that he was there or something along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah, but even if she did plead with Snape, that wasn't going to stop Voldemort.
I'm paranoid. I'm glancing out my mirror.
Can you hear a siren, Ben?
James is definitely dead. I remember now. It's because there was a theory running that James and Lupin had actually switched bodies prior to James's murder.
Oh,
well, that
yes.
was actually
I remember
a
one.
Decently thought out plan. But it was very clever. And then,
I don't know. I've never bought into the idea that the Potters were all
alive.
Really.
So that's the thing. Jo said in her response, I believe it's even our website, she said something like, "Brilliant theory." I mean, that was the first thing she said. But no, James would never abandon his family at a time of death. So
of course
died
he wouldn't,
with
yeah.
Yeah, he died with him is pretty much what she said. So, you know, and I don't know how he'd go on living and watching Harry, or letting Harry be with the Dursleys and all that stuff. So I think he's still there.
I concur, too.
But, you know, that's not to say I don't find it incredibly weird how certain Harry was that he saw his father on the lake that night. But then that was supposed to, like, emphasize just how much like James Harry
Precisely,
was or something
yeah, yeah.
crazy
that
like that. I don't know, but it seemed really awkward, like it didn't really fit there.
Well, how did they not match up, Eric?
It's kind of like, okay, you can see that she was just trying to draw similarities between Harry and James, but Harry was, like, beyond certain that it, like, wasn't. Maybe it's a sign of his immaturity, inability to grasp that it was indeed him. Maybe it's his inability to get with the picture and understand things entirely, but he was a little bit... I don't know. I think there's something going on there about that night and about Dumbledore, how he acted that night. And all that whole night they went back in time, I really think that there was just something else that it wasn't really... I mean, I'll accept that it's Harry, you know, who thought that Harry was prongs or whatever, but there just seemed to be so much, like, extra stuff that might come in place later. You know, the similarities drawn between Harry and James were brought up again and brought up again, but so were Harry's eyes with his parents. Like, he's just like any of his lineage seems to be emphasized throughout the books. His parents, his love for his parents, which might again be love. So what does that mean, you know?
Wouldn't you agree, though, that he might have thought it was his dad because of how powerful the Patronus was? Maybe he thought he couldn't conjure
it. It could be that. It could be the lack of confidence in that. But he I don't know, it was just interesting how certain he was, how wrong he was, apparently, you know. Like, I think James is dead, don't get me wrong. I just think there might be something else really weird going on there. I can't really explain it. But it's kind of like Dumbledore says, those we love never truly leave us. And Harry really wanted to see, you know, his father, or at least he really wanted help and something in what appeared to him as his father. But it turned out just to be.
Well, and the fact that the Patronus was a stag, and that was his dad's animagus form.
Yeah, exactly. Emphasis, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's why it's brilliant. That's a good point. Thank you.
I'm sorry, guys. I'm not talking very much. I am melting.
I don't believe you, Ben. That's almost impossible.
I will take a picture of myself with photo booth.
Can you it please is. Right now?
Yes, right now. And we'll put it up on.
Can we use it as a show album art?
Ben melting
for those who subscribe via iTunes.
Sure, here, I'll turn up my screen to the full brightness.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
This is going to be disgusting. You can't
do you
see
have your MuggleCast t-shirt on?
I do, actually.
Oh, this is perfect.
I think I've got enough punishment. The police officer comes up here and is like, you come in, I'll be like, thank God, is there air conditioning in the building? Anything to get out of this car.
Listen, you have to promise me that if they come up, you got to keep recording. We need that.
Okay, yeah. I will.
They won't. That's silly. What town are you in?
MuggleCast 50, live
Alma,
from jail.
Nebraska.
All right, let me local Google or Google local.
Yeah, let's get the number and call them.
Police station.
Ben, how do you spell the that name?
Alma, Nebraska.
Okay. The first person to write in and tell us the population of Alma, Nebraska wins a free t-shirt.
Okay.
Email.
He's not joking either.
Yeah, no, I'm
because
not joking.
James
seriously,
gonna pay
email
for
in
it for you.
And
the correct population.
Yeah. We've got to go and count them, so it might take a while to send you your t-shirt, but it'll be fine.
Email
jamie@staff.mugglenet.com with your answer. First person gets a free t-shirt.
If you already have a t-shirt, don't play. Well, we got a few voicemails this week. A little update on the co-host. Kevin is not here because he's sick. Email Kevin at staff. He'll never read his email, but send it anyway in another year, I'm
Kevin,
sure.
No, that is insulting, Andrew. I always read it 15 times a minute.
And Micah is also out. He's socializing in New York City. All right, let's move on to this week's voicemails.
Hey, guys. This is Adam from Tennessee. Just wanted to say I love the show and... Do you guys really think that Harry's going to want to become an Auror after he defeats Voldemort? I mean, he would have gone through this 7-year battle with him. I mean, wouldn't he just want to have some kind of fun or something? Just want to know what you guys thought. Anyway, bye.
I just finished rereading Half-Blood Prince not too long ago, and in the opening chapters, Harry's thinking about what he wants to do for a career, and he's very excited because Professor McGonagall lets him into potions because there's a new potions master, Professor Slughorn, and he started thinking about his future, and he said there's nothing else that he'd really want to do, so...
Besides potions?
You know, besides becoming an Auror.
Oh, okay.
So, if he can defeat Voldemort, then all these other people will be just child's play, wouldn't
I don't know.
Yeah, you would think so.
So it sounds like, I doubt he wants to, you know, the rich and the famous, they still want to be productive. You know, it's not like just because he defeats Voldemort, he's not going to want to sit around and lounge all the time just because he beat Voldemort.
I think he'll have had enough after he defeats Voldemort.
I think he'll want to go and...
I think he will.
You know...
No, I don't think he'll have enough.
Yeah, because...
What's he got, like, a...
No.
Why, Laura?
Defeating
no,
Dark Wizard
that.
Fetish.
It's because he's spent his whole life this far, not only risking... Not only
I agree
risking
with you.
His
no,
life,
I agree
but
with
risking
you.
The lives of everyone who loves him.
But that's what he does.
He'll want to get... Yeah, I know, but he doesn't want that. We saw that from the 6th book. He had to dump his girlfriend because he's afraid for her safety.
True.
He's going to want to be able to settle down with people.
Yeah, but he didn't really dump her.
That doesn't matter. He still did it because he feels like he has to protect her. And he's going to want to settle down and live a quiet life. with the people he loves. That's what he's going to want.
I agree. He said in, I think it was it Order of the Phoenix or Half-Blood Prince? No, it was after he got his OWL results. He said that surely the best choice and the best chance of him defeating Voldemort is to become one of the, you know, dark wizard catchers that are trained to find and kill him. So I think, yeah, he'll do it before then because he wants to have the best chance. But you know, it's just like afterwards, he isn't needed to defeat normal dark wizards, if that makes sense. The auras can do that. He wants to... His task is, you know, to finish Voldemort. You don't see Frodo, after he's, you know, finished off the one ring, going and getting a load of other rings and, you know, doing it. It's just like, it's just his task, and he's finished it. So I think that's going to be the end after that.
Guys, I hate to interrupt, but I really have to go. I mean, I'm needed all back right. at the house.
Okay.
My grandparents' house. So,
all right.
I really enjoyed my time with you guys. I'm excited to leave because I get to go to air conditioning and I don't have to worry about getting caught anymore.
Darn.
But I have had the best luck on the street tonight. This is where the streets have.
Well, can you plug the street? Do you know what street you're on? Can we thank those?
Can I just repeat what Ben's just said? Ben's had the best luck on the street tonight.
I have. No one's turned down this street. So thanks.
Was she good?
What street is it, Ben?
Here, I'll start my car right now.
We get to listen
that
to
sounds like a Chevy.
To the Paradise City where the grass is green and the girls are
no,
green.
It's a Pontiac, and I'm in motion right now. Just hope
Shane's
going to lose his connection.
No, it's getting stronger.
You're driving
actually.
To the house. Ben, go towards the house.
Oh, boy.
Go
all this time.
Find go
let's
into
see
the
how
house.
Long Ben can drive
sounds like a nice car.
Before he loses connection.
Yeah.
I'm getting he's just downloaded that. Pontiac sounds off Google, and he's
yeah, I'm in the car right now.
Yes, Jamie.
He's really got a 15-year-old passion wagon.
I am on First
like nice
Street,
car.
So thanks to the people of First Street in Alma, Nebraska, for providing me with the internet tonight so I can record MuggleCast.
Oh, wonderful.
So everyone,
wonderful.
Send you thing.
Well, I'm sure
you,
they're going to enjoy the fact that you told oh, everyone not... where they lived.
Yeah. So if anyone's ever need a free Wi-Fi, come to Alma, Nebraska. And so we're going to have one last drive away with me. We're going to drive away until my internet dies. So this is the last okay. you'll hear of me, people. I'm driving with a laptop in my lap, my seat's halfway laying down, and a light in this house next to me just turned on. They're probably wondering who...
Ben, do you have any comments about the difficulty in your of being yourself?
It is rough being Ben Shane. Get chased around.
Ben, is this a dirt road you're on?
No. And I'm passing Kennedy Street, and I'm losing my signal. So, good night, guys. Thanks for having me on the show.
He's losing it.
Bye, Ben. Bye, Ben.
And there he goes.
If you grab the defibrillator, like we might be able to save him just in time.
Like the dork that I am, I could follow him on Google Maps. Well, that was very nice. And once again, we thank the people of First Street in beautiful Alma, Nebraska. It is a very nice neighborhood, and... we hope to podcast from there again sometime in the near future. Anyway, let's move on to the next voicemail.
Hey, MuggleCast, this is Michelle Pilati from Connecticut. I met you at the first charity reading in New York City. I'm the one who asked what Hermione would say if she looked into the mirror of Erised. And I just wanted to say how nice it was to meet you guys. Going to the charity reading was my birthday present this year, and meeting you guys made it even cooler than it already was. So, yeah, I just really love the show. And, oh, yeah, thank you so much, Andrew, for just reminding me how many people there were there. That really helped my nerves and made it great. But, yeah, love the show. Keep up the good work. Bye.
There's a story to this voicemail, and it's the reason we're playing it. Jamie, you might remember the girl who came up to us.
Oh, it was her birthday. Girl. And she said, I've actually been picked to ask a question.
Yeah, and she was very scared, and I said to her, oh, well, don't
worry.
There's
only 6,000 people there, yeah.
And that scared her, and now I feel bad, so I just like to apologize.
But
and,
it was a very good question, so it came across very well anyway, even though there were 6,000 people there.
And we had a discussion about it on the live podcast and all that, so...
It was a good question. I actually liked it a lot because of Jake Harris wording. Jake Harris said two things. She said that not only would she see her, you know, the whole trio... with Voldemort defeated, but she'd also see herself tightly eloped around a certain somebody. But that was two things. That was two answers.
She did.
So that was actually really good. It was a good question.
I believe, Eric, she said tightly entwined.
Entwined. Sorry, what did I say?
I don't know.
Inter.
Eloped.
Eloped.
Did you really say that? Did he really say that?
Why? Why is that funny?
Because eloped means run off with and secretly marry. So I'm not too sure that was the correct choice.
Whatever.
Oh my god, the running jokes from now on.
No, Ben, forgive me. It was 12. It's 12:31 a.m. here. I just can't think.
Next voicemail comes from someone who wants to know about the unity in Hogwarts.
Hey, MuggleCast guys and Laura, this is Bailey and Tyler from Connecticut. Love the show. We were just wondering what you thought of this idea. Assuming that Hogwarts does reopen, whether Harry goes back or not, will the four houses stay separate, or will they be abolished and the school will become one? House division has always been a source of animosity between students since the founding days, so this could be the first step to a more unified wizarding world. As Dumbledore, may he rest in peace, had always been such a strong supporter of unity, do you think this is a possibility? On a completely unrelated note, Ben, you and I should really get married. I mean, how cute does Ben and Bailey Shane sound? Anyway, thanks and congratulations, everyone, on a year of MuggleCast.
It's a shame he's not here to hear that.
I think creating one house instead of Griff, Raven, Huffle, Rin.
Griff, Raven, Huffle, Rin. That's amazing.
Will not work because it's forcing people who are normally tolerant of each other to work together. And I think they're better kept apart but still kept together with Hogwarts. You know, because they're primarily a part of Hogwarts, I'd say, rather than a part of their house. So I don't think it's going to happen. But
I agree.
I think that no matter what you do, there's always going to be animosity between certain groups of students.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just how it's going to be.
If it wasn't houses, you know, if it wasn't officially in houses, it would just be cliques within Gryffindor, cliques within Slytherin.
I think there has to be the houses, but it seems like there might be a lot less competition this year, or the seventh year.
Yeah, that's probably right.
I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know, turning into one, like Jamie said, it's not going to be Griff, Avon, Uffle, In.
Rin.
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 That's beautiful, though. No one's a, that's our new shirt slogan. WBK, get us for that one. All right.
Slytherin Raven.
No.
Next voicemail contains a very interesting theory. At least I thought it was interesting.
Hi, guys. This is Amanda. I'm 21, and I go to Penn State University. In The Half-Blood Prince, at the end of the chapter, Lord Voldemort's request, Dumbledore and Harry have just finished viewing Dumbledore's memory of when Voldemort returned to Hogwarts to request a teaching position. Harry asks if he was after the dark... Defense Against the Dark Arts job again, and Dumbledore replies that he definitely wanted the Defense Against the Dark Arts job, and that the aftermath of our little meeting proved that. You see, we have never been able to keep a DADA teacher for longer than a year since I refused the post to Lord Voldemort. I'm wondering, in addition to Dumbledore supposedly holding this job from Snape because he was afraid Snape would fall back on his old ways, could also be a possibility that Dumbledore was protecting Snape from the curse that was placed on the DADA job? This makes Snape's sudden change of position even more intriguing, because Dumbledore must have known that putting Snape in the DADA job would mean that he would no longer be at Hogwarts for the end of the school year. This adds further credence to the idea that Dumbledore knew that he was going to die and that there was some sort of understanding between Snape and Dumbledore. Just wonder what you guys thought. I listen to MuggleCast, Pottercast, and the Leaky Mugs obsessively, but have been unable to make any live shows. Ever considered doing a college tour? Thanks. Bye.
Isn't that a good idea, though?
Yeah.
No, seriously.
We do we have a staffer at Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
So shout
out
to Penn State.
Wait, who was it? Who?
What was the idea?
Rachel.
What was the idea?
Rachel's at Penn State?
Yeah.
Rachel, MuggleNet?
Come to a college tour.
Yeah, MuggleNet Rachel. She goes to Penn State.
I never knew that.
Oh. Which is like a few hours west of here, so.
I never knew that. I thought she lives in California, though, right?
Yeah, but she goes to Penn State.
Well, that's a little awkward. I live in Pennsylvania, and I go to California for college. USC, baby.
Yeah.
All right. Laura, was it you who said that Dumbledore uses people in, I think it was the last episode? You said Dumbledore really...
No, I believe that was Jess that said that Dumbledore manipulates people, not me.
Well, I didn't say manipulates, but uses them for like when they're ready. I completely agree with her theory, but... Yeah,
I never said that he uses.
Okay,
people.
No, that's okay. That wasn't you. Someone was saying it once, and but Dumbledore waits for the time until the time is right. Mm-hmm. He withheld Snape from that position, and I strongly agree with this theory. Until the time suited him, until the time was right, where Snape would only need to remain at Hogwarts another year, a time such as this. One could argue Dumbledore was waiting to give Snape the position for the time when Snape would eventually need to leave and, you know, set off the final chain of events as either foreseen or planned or not foreseen at all to defeat Voldemort. I think it's a great plan. I also want to mention something else, but I won't right now. I want to hear everybody else's theories on this particular one. But she reminded me of something.
I really don't have any theory on it because I agree with her 100%. Yeah. I've thought that ever since I closed book 6.
Yeah.
That's what I thought went
it
on.
It had to have been.
Yeah.
Me too. I like it because it works, and then I can't debate it.
It sounds good too.
Yeah. Good theory. Good theory.
So there was, you know, that potential theory about the Sorting Hat being a Horcrux, because people somehow think that Dumbledore didn't know that the Sorting Hat was a relic of Godric Gryffindor, and so when Dumbledore points to the sword, he says the only known relic is not a Horcrux, I'm sure, but people think Dumbledore was either not thinking about or not considering or not able to find the Sorting Hat. There is speculation that when Voldemort comes into Dumbledore's office and Dumbledore, you know, says no, says, you know, you don't want to be a teacher, Voldemort almost reaches for his wand. According to Harry, Harry sees him kind of twitch his wand. Some people speculate that that's the moment where he made the Sorting Hat a Horcrux. Personally, I think it's way too easy to make something a Horcrux, but the whole point of that was people think that the Sorting Hat might be a Horcrux, and that would have been the perfect means to create one in that room. But I think I was watching Chamber of Secrets, the movie, the other day, and I think I deduced that the Sorting Hat can't be a Horcrux, because the Sorting Hat was the one thing that saved Harry in book 2 by presenting him with Gryffindor's sword. If there was any kind of Voldemort in the hat, wouldn't it prevent the hat itself from giving the sword to Harry? I mean, if you think it's a relic of Godric Gryffindor, and the sword is the one thing besides the fox that really, you know. And where was the sword before that? Again, with our Room of Requirement thing, we do things have to appear from nowhere. But the sword was a known relic. The sword just was somewhere else at the time, and Harry got it. So I think if the Sorting Hat were a Horcrux, wouldn't have given Harry the sword.
It's important to bring up here that J.K. Rowling put on her official site that the Sorting Hat is not a Horcrux. So
yeah, okay.
I guess that's a good reason.
Not to mention, Dumbledore, he would have to know that it was a relic of Gryffindor's because the Sorting Hat put it in one of its songs.
Yeah.
He said something about how Gryffindor whipped him off his head and put a spell on him, and so I think that was pretty obvious.
I loved how you saved that point, Andrew, till right after Eric had finished.
I tried to get it in, but he just keeps talking. There's no break. Before I forget, if anyone does have any topic discussions or topic ideas or ideas from the forum that you guys think we can discuss, you know how long we usually talk about these things and into what depth. So let us know if you have an idea for something you want us to talk about. Just email to mugglecast@staff.mugglenet.com. We're always open to ideas because, after all, it is you guys who are listening. So we want to talk about stuff that you're going to be interested in. We have a hunch that you want it to be about Harry Potter. But besides that, we don't know anything else. So now it's time for a segment that we haven't heard of for quite a while. Early July, I'd say. And that would be Jamie's British joke of the day.
Okay, I have one. However, it could slightly cause offense. So I'm going to I'm going to make it so it couldn't possibly cause offense. All right. Okay. So there are three women, okay? One with a certain hair color, one with another certain hair color, and the third one with a hair color which is
often connotated
with feelings of stupidity. And So these three women with differing hair color are all on trial for murder, and they're all convicted, and they're all to be executed by firing squad. And the first one, of not the hair colour that we were insinuating before, Eric, is brought in front of the firing squad. And they say, "Ready, aim," and she goes, "Earthquake!" And everyone turns around and she escapes. So, and it's brilliant. So the second one comes out, who also doesn't have the hair colour of the one we were talking about earlier, and sits down, and they go, "Ready, aim," and she says, "Tsunami!" And everyone turns around and, you know, brilliantly, she climbs over the wall and escapes. Then the third one, who does have the hair colour that we were insinuating brings about connotations of stupidity, sits down, and the firing squad line up, bring their guns up to her, and they go, ready, aim, and she shouts out, fire.
All right, I get it. Good joke, dude.
It was ruined slightly by the need to put in excesses of apparently and stuff, but, you know.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, and but also, can I introduce a brand new section to MuggleCast, please?
Can I do one first, though? Can I do one first? Yeah. I have a new one. This came to me while we were sitting here recording. This is a new segment, and I'm going to call it Dylan Spart's Inspirational Quote of the Week. Dylan Spart's Inspirational Quote of the Week.
Geez.
I'm sitting here on Skype, and as most of you know, there's a little message people can put next to your Skype name. But before that, as most of you know, Dylan Spart's is the brother of Emerson Spart's, and a lot of you girls out there like him for his boyish charm and his cute
and his,
sense
and
of
his,
humor. And his
Chevy.
Fill in the blank, Jamie.
And his and his and his,
I know where you're going with this, so I'll just move on.
Yeah, and his. We'll stop there.
So he has something in his Skype name. I don't even know what Skype calls it, but I found it very inspirational, and I'd like to read it for everyone now. This is the Dylan Spart's Inspirational Quote of the Week. Style doesn't matter when you're on your back. Style doesn't matter when you're on your back. This has been the Dylan Spart's Inspirational Quote of the Week. Mm. Tune in next week when I tell him we did this on the show, and he gives me another one.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Wasn't that great?
Now I'm looking at everyone's Skype things. Andrew is away.
Look, he's trying to be down with the lingo, aren't you, Andrew?
I haven't updated that in years, and I'm changing it right now. Rock sores, my sock sores.
Change it to takes me down to the Paradise City.
It's just, you know, Dylan Spart's. Let me talk to you guys for a minute about Dylan Spart's. Dylan Spart's is a man of brilliance. He's a man of creativity. He is a man of humor.
So he is. So
and
he's a man.
He is. He's a man.
He's
and
a man.
And I know that everyone out and absolutely. And also Andrew, everyone out there really would love to entwine with him, elope.
Well, I don't know. Some fangirls would like to elope with
They
him.
Would.
And going back to Hermione and Ron, they might have to elope and run away from all the Harry Hermione shippers. So.
That's very true.
So we're in a fun mood today, so we have yet another fun segment for everyone.
Jamie. Oh, yes. Okay, this is going to be a regular segment. It is appropriately titled Dumbledore Facts. Okay, now... I don't really know how to introduce this, but I'm sure everyone out there has heard of Chuck Norris facts. Yes?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Now,
yes.
These Chuck Norris facts are stated to emphasize Chuck's awesomeness, amazingness, virility, power, all these kind of things. And people worship him just as we worship Dumbledore, so I thought, why can't we have some facts about Dumbledore as well? So I'm going to shoot off this week with that Dumbledore can lead a horse to water and make him drink.
Oh, wait, so it's
am
actually...
Am I the only one who got
really?
That?
But you see, some are kind of mean, so it's like...
It's going to be hard to set this up because most people don't understand these Chuck Norris jokes.
No, just say that. Put that in and we'll see how it goes. And one more, since it's the first one and everyone likes it. There is no chin underneath Dumbledore's beard. There is just another fist.
Oh, God, not these. No, 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 no.
No, come on,
no.
It's funny.
Oh, yes, these. We haven't done this segment in a while either. Chicken soup for the MuggleCast soul. So the first one comes from... Can't say? Oh, she can't say her name.
Oh. But she... I thought her name was Can't Say.
I know. She strategically made it one word to fool us. So this is from Can't
awesome.
Say. Well, wouldn't it be funny if that's actually her name?
Can't Say Johnson from Canada. What were your parents thinking?
12 years old, she writes, "Hi, MuggleCasters." Well, okay, well, I gotta set this up because I had it in my head. We are about to enter another school season, and this is a school-related chicken soup for the MuggleCast soul. I'd love to start like a school-type segment for MuggleCast, but can't think of any. So this comes from Can't Say 12 Canada. Hi, MuggleCasters. I really love the show. I would like to thank you for helping me in school. I began listening to MuggleCast in April while I had the flu, and when I saw my sister downloading an episode, when I saw my sister downloading an episode. In French class, we were discussing technology. My teacher asked the class to do reports on different ways to use the computer, etc. So I did my reports on podcasts because I'm obsessed with the show and Harry Potter. My idea was original, and I got 100%.
Woohoo! Yay!
So my parents were really proud of me. Thank you so much. Please continue the show. I love MuggleCast. Someone needs to compile a list of
all the things we do for people.
Since we're getting back into the school spirit here, if you have something that relates to MuggleCast that involved your school, like a report or something, because I know there's been a few, we've gotten emails before, send a copy of it, maybe a scan, because we'd like to see 100 at the top with a big smile. Even if it's in the A's or B's, even if you failed it, that'd be pretty funny. So,
as long as it has one of our names in it.
Right. Right.
And Andrew, our second chicken soup for the MuggleCast soul comes from Don't Know, and then after that, it's Not Sure.
Well, anyone got anything else to bring up? Anyone, anything? I wanted to talk about news, actually.
But Micah does that.
No, he reads it. He doesn't talk about it.
Oh, if that means we get to talk about that episode of The Colbert Report, then...
Oh, that was really funny. Did you like that, Laura?
Yeah, I watched Daily Show and The Colbert Report. It was pretty funny.
We posted it on MuggleNet the other day, and Stephen Colbert tipped his hat to Joe for threatening to kill off Harry Potter. It's really funny. Good stuff.
Did you guys ever see that one episode where he was interviewing Al Franken, and there was one point where they were in a very heated discussion, and somehow they both ended up with their index fingers, like, touching each other, and Stephen Colbert goes, "Our wands have the same type of phoenix feather." And I thought that was hilarious. Like, I burst out laughing, and my dad's, like, looking at me like, "What, are you insane?" And Al Franken just looked totally confused, and Colbert was just like, "Oh, your kids are too old." So I thought that was a cute little tidbit, and so pretty clearly he's a fan. So I thought that was awesome.
I'm glad he got his own show because he was so good on the Daily Show.
He is hilarious.
Yeah.
But we can't get too far into some of the other things that he talks about, unfortunately.
Yeah. In other Potter news, we've seen a lot of filming pictures lately. Anyone surprised by this? Does anyone really care? It's interesting, though, because...
I haven't even looked at them.
Good.
Don't we see? They're, like, from 100 yards away, and they're, like, half-built.
But these are good, because, unlike with other movies, we're actually seeing the actors.
Are we?
And, yeah, Harry and... Well, Daniel Radcliffe and Harry Melling were seen, what was it, on July 24th, I think it was.
Oh, outside of running Lipson. In some field.
I didn't recognize them. They were just, like, two people at the corner left of the screen. I was like,
what happened to them being in a neighborhood?
Yeah. Well, there's no neighborhoods in England, apparently, and I'm sure Jamie could attest to that. But they're filming the scenes where Dudley is attacked by the Dementors.
Hey, Jamie, tell us about how television sets came before the neighborhood in England.
Because we're looking at these set photos, and they're shooting Dan Radcliffe and Harry Melling running through some open fields, but they run through neighborhoods in the movie. So, and I said, well, as Jamie could attest to, there's no neighborhoods in England either.
A what? Sorry? A nabber. What was it called? Neighborhood?
No neighborhoods.
What's that?
No, neighborhoods.
What's that?
Yeah.
No,
what do you call it?
Oh, my God.
Oh, Jamie,
that was the worst bit of teamwork I've ever heard in my life.
I'm sorry, I should have picked up on that. I did in the live podcast. Then also we saw some photos. They're filming, what is it, Snape's Worst Memory scenes, too. And once again we saw Dan Radcliffe and whoever's playing a young Snape, the young Snape. Once again, I see from the feedback that nobody really cares. So...
Alan Rickman's son.
No one cares until the movie comes out.
That's true. Hey, you know, I was doing the math the other day, and by doing the math, I meant going through my Google Calendar and adding every single MuggleCast that's scheduled to be released up through the Half-Blood Prince
that's
movie release date. And, yeah, it only took me about 20 minutes, but we will be up to episode 170 when Half-Blood Prince is released.
Oh, my God. God.
On November 21st, 2008.
No.
Yeah, but don't you think the seventh book will come out by then?
No. Oh, yeah, it will, yeah.
I can't fathom 170.
So we won't be up to quite that many. Unless, I mean, maybe we shouldn't put this in because it'll make people sad, but are we really going to keep going weekly after the 7th book comes out?
Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. There'll still be loose ends. There'll still be loose ends.
We'll have nothing, we'll all be grown have nothing with kids, to talk about.
You know.
Yeah. There, who's to say, you know, there, we can make the show like a half hour long and just do growing it that way. No,
we're all going to be getting ready to... we'll be getting ready to go into, like, our sophomore year of college.
Laura, you're very negative, and I don't appreciate this type of attitude as a podcaster.
I can totally see you just, like, we're about to record.
You know what? I'm done. My contract is only through book 7. I'm sorry.
Your contract.
I better check mine. I don't know what sports put down on that. Jamie, what are you eating?
I'm eating cereal. In fact, Andrew, do you know what cereal I'm eating?
Oh my god, Emerson would love
it. I'm eating Lucky Charms. Okay, everyone, see, this is the story.
Kieran would be so proud.
Just before I left Costa del Sims in America, Andrew's dad very kindly put a thing of Lucky Charms into my suitcase, which I didn't find until I got home. And when I got there, I was very, very excited, and I've been eating them ever since. In fact, I think they really are Lucky Charms because I've had about 400 bowls and I don't think it's going down.
I was going to say, you've had that box for a while. Was it a filled box or was it like half empty? Or?
Sorry.
Half full, I think possibly.
It was about three quarters full. But I'm sure it's going up. It's full now.
Okay. Well, on that note, once again, I'm Andrew Sims.
I'm Eric Skull.
I'm Laura Thompson.
And I'm Jamie Lawrence, eating Lucky Charms.
We'll see everyone next week for episode 52. Good night, everyone.
Thank you guys for having me.
Too old.
Okay, let's do some, okay, let me think. Okay, I'm going to have to think how I'm going to phrase this. Okay, you're going to have to put this straight
car
after
coming,
what Ben was
car
saying.
Coming down the road.
Let me think.
Turn.
Okay, Ben, Bennett, he's not going to arrest you, he's on a policeman. Sorry.
You can use this in the show. Okay,
they turned. All right. We're good. They turned.
Talking
it's
of
ridiculous.
Ben, it's not ridiculous. They're not going to arrest you for sitting in your car on a computer.
There are a few new set picks, including one of Dan Radcliffe over on MuggleNet. There are a few new Order of the Set Fiener.
Wow.
There are a few new. There are a few new Order. Oh my god. There are a few new Order of the Set. This is just not working out, man.
Andrew, why must you demand the news of me when I have to get up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning?